What happens when you have your fitness game dialed in, but aren't seeing the changes you were hoping for? What if you feel like you're eating healthy, but still stagnant with your physique and weight loss goals? What type of training and dieting strategies actually work for long-term success? We address all of these and more in today's episode with Biceps and Babies owner, Amber Brzezicki.
Welcome to the show where we help you make smart nutrition simple. If you want proven nutrition strategies to help you build a better body and create the energy to show up for your family without overly restrictive and unrealistic dieting, then you're in the right place. Make sure to subscribe and enjoy this episode.
What's up, crew, and welcome back to another episode of the Smart Nutrition Made Simple Show. You know me, your host, Ben Brown, owner of Body Systems, where we help you change your belief system around what it means to be healthy by helping you make smart nutrition and fitness simple. In today's episode, I catch up with Amber Brzezicki, a wife, mom of four, and a former RN who founded Biceps After Babies because she believes that being a mom doesn't have to mean that your fittest days are behind you. What started as a little Instagram account to share her fitness journey online has become a business focused on empowering women to achieve. Her signature coaching program, Macros One-on-One, has helped over 8,000 women use the tool of macro counting to build a nutrition plan that's both effective and enjoyable. Amber possesses a distinct talent for pinpointing the underlying obstacles that are preventing clients from reaching their goals and has taught her unique coaching methodology to over 150 coaches in her transformational macro coach certification. In today's conversation, we discuss her journey from nurse and busy mom to nutrition coach and business owner. We talk about how learning how to track macros was the pivotal lever in her body composition changes and how she's been able to build a business around helping other women and mothers do the same. Amber and I dig deep into mindset, pre-existing beliefs, and identity change as the most fundamental components of true growth and transformation, and how we can leverage accountability externally and internally to create autonomy and long-term success. Lastly, we share the power that comes from modeling healthy nutrition and exercise for our kids and the responsibility present for every parent to do the same. If you're desiring personal growth, ready to make change, and looking for the tools to become the type of person that is lean, healthy, and strong for your family and your future, then this episode is definitely for you. And if you love what you hear, then do me a favor and share this with someone whom you know could benefit. Leave us a positive rating and review. And if you want some help figuring out how to tackle the nutrition and training methodology that is right for you, then hit me up so we can discuss how we can support you in your journey. I loved this conversation and am confident you will too. So without further ado, here's Amber Brzezicki. Amber Brzezicki, welcome to the Smart Nutrition Made Simple Show. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. It's an absolute privilege and honor to be able to spend some time with you, picking your brain, being able to share your wisdom and knowledge with our audience. I'm super excited to have this conversation. So you have a company named Biceps After Babies. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm assuming with that you serve primarily mothers.
About 90% of our clients are moms.
Okay, awesome. And for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with you, how do you serve them? What specifically is it that you guys do?
Yeah. So I work a lot with nutrition with my clients. So yeah, we serve all women, primarily mothers. And a big portion of my clients who come to work with us are people who either the exercise part isn't the hard part. I get a lot of clients who are like, the exercise part isn't the hard part. The nutrition part is the hard part. And so we help and serve them with that. Or people who both parts are hard and we can help and serve them with helping them with the exercise and as well as the nutrition. But primarily, I serve clients looking for help with their nutrition, customizing it to whatever body results that they're currently wanting. We do have an arm of the business where I now also help coaches learn how to coach other clients. And so that's awesome. Been a really fun, like, new development in the business as well.
I love that too, because I think as you kind of find your groove with your clientele. You obviously know how to deliver results to your clientele. I think invariably you start to attract coaches or other prospective coaches that are like, show me how to do that. And so kudos to you for being able to develop, you know, a system to be able to help coaches do the same.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
We'll just take a step back real quick and enlighten us as to how you, you know, started this company. What, totally. You know, how is it that you got into doing what you're doing?
Well, I always say I'm an accidental entrepreneur because I never in my life wanted to own my own business. That was never a goal of mine. I went to school for nursing and graduated as a nurse, worked as a critical care nurse while my husband was in med school, and, you know, thought that was what I would do for a long time. We ended up having two kids pretty quickly, and my husband moved on to residency, and it just wasn't feasible anymore for me to put two kids in daycare while my husband's working 80 hours a week. And so I came home, but I'm not one who could like not like stop working. Like I have to like do something. And so growing up, my mom had been a fitness instructor. She had worked at the YMCA my whole childhood. Some of my earliest memories are watching her teach step aerobics while I watched from like the kids care at the YMCA. So my mom did that my whole childhood. And so I thought, well, that's something I can do with these two kids. I can take my two kids, I can take them to the childcare, and I can teach group fitness classes like my mom did. And so I started there and I did that for 8 years. That was a great way. I had two more kids along the way. So we ended up having four kids. I would take all of my four kids to the gym, drop them off in the childcare, teach my fitness classes. And I loved it. I taught, you know, six classes a week, and it was an awesome way to balance being a young mom for me. In around 2016, I was still teaching all of these fitness classes. Right. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what? Like my body just like doesn't look like I teach six fitness classes a week.
Totally.
It does. I do all these things at the gym, but my body doesn't ever really change. And I knew that what needed to be changed was my nutrition, because I paid a lot of attention to the gym and not as much to my nutrition. So this is when I kind of found macro counting. And like, as a nurse, I'm reading through all this stuff and I'm like, well, this scientifically actually makes sense from like a nutritional standpoint.
Right.
I'm going to try it out. I'm going to see what I can do. And so I set my macros, started my first cut, and I 8 weeks later had a six pack for the first time in my entire life, you know, post four kids.
You were like so ready. Your body was so ready. Like I had done a lot of the change in nutrition.
Yeah, I had done a lot of the exercise. I'd lifted weights for most of my life, but it was like just that last piece that needed to click in place for me to really maximize the results that I was getting from a, you know, a body composition standpoint. And I was floored. Like I did not think that it was going to create that big of a change that quickly in my body. And so I just started sharing what I was doing on Instagram. Did not think I was starting a business. Had no ideas that this would turn into a company. I just was sharing my experience, and people started very quickly saying, hey, can you coach me? Can you help me do this? I was like, sure, that sounds fun. Let's try that. And I mean, it very quickly exploded. My Instagram account grew, and I was all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have like, this is making money. Like I have a business. I got to like think about this from a business standpoint. And that was in 2016. And here we are in 2024, and we've served over 8,000 clients, and amazing. I have a team now around me. And it's just been such an amazing ride to be able to serve and help so many women over the years.
I love it. That's so cool. Good for you. And good for your clientele, and what an amazing opportunity. You know, what do you think? Because you mentioned earlier that exercise wasn't the hard part. And I think that's a common scenario for a lot of our listeners, a lot of your clients, obviously, is they're going and they're doing the exercise, they're doing the group fitness classes, they're doing the Peloton, they're doing the, you know, the spin classes, the whatever, like F45, Orange Theory Fitness, all of these pseudo higher intensity bootcamp style classes. What do you think it was for you that helped you realize that it wasn't the exercise that was the limiting factor? Instead, it was the nutrition.
Well, I mean, I think most people know that there's two aspects that are really important when it comes to body composition. There is the exercise and movement part, and then there is the nutrition part. And, you know, I do see a lot of women who are quote unquote doing I, you know, don't have a hard part with the gym, but when you go and you look at their workouts, they're all very cardio based and not strength training based. And so I think sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I got the exercise part down. But if you look a little closer, it's like, yes, you're going to the gym, but you're not actually maximizing your time there because a lot of your time is spent with cardio and not as much with strength training, which is going to get you a lot further in life. Yes. And with your body composition goals. So for me, I had that understanding. I already knew about progressive overload. I've been lifting weights since my mom took me to the gym, went to the weight room when I was 14. So I have been lifting weights for a really long time. So resistance training has always been a part of my exercise routine. So I knew that I had that part dialed in.
Okay. So to be fair, you were teaching the classes, you were doing the cardio and boot camp style classes, for lack of a better term, but you were also leveraging strength training.
Yes. I've been strength training for years. And I will say that my strength training was not as optimal as it could be because sure. I was teaching body pump, which if right. you know body pump, love it. Love body pump, taught it for 8 years. But it is high rep, low weight, and it didn't put on as much muscle as when I transitioned over to a more progressive overload or more bodybuilding style later on. I was able to build a lot more muscle, but I did have some foundation of strength because I was doing, some weightlifting.
100%. What do you think it is? What do we know that's so important around the strength training component as it, you know, regarding like helping people actually change their body composition? Because I think a lot of people are stuck in this loop of, like we said, is I'm good on the quote unquote, yeah. I'm good on the training, right? I'm doing the classes, I'm sweating. Mm-hmm. I'm huffing and puffing, I'm exhausted, I'm yeah. quote unquote burning a lot of calories. But what do we see with that regarding body composition change, you know, relative to, like you said, progressive overload strength training?
Well, we get this, so many women get this idea. Again, it's like, if I'm going to the gym, then I'm checking that box. If I'm sweating, then I'm checking that box. Mm-hmm. If I even pick up a dumbbell, like this was me for a long time. It was like, I'm teaching body pump, I'm lifting a barbell. Like, of course, right. I'm like maximizing my muscle growth. I'm lifting a barbell, you know, so we think we can check that off. And it's really important for especially women to understand that just because you're picking up a dumbbell or just because you're picking up a barbell doesn't actually mean you're optimizing for muscle growth, and that there's actually a systematic way that you have to be approaching your workouts for that muscle growth to occur. And that muscle growth, that is foundational to your body composition. Because when we talk about body composition, we're talking about how much fat do you have in your body and how much muscle do you have in your body. And women love to focus on the how much fat do I have on my body
right.
and forget to focus on the how much muscle do I have on the body. But there's two parts to the equation. And if we're always only focusing on maximizing fat loss, we're missing a whole half of the equation of focusing on muscle growth. And so yes. when you can focus on both sides, you can focus on building muscle and focusing on that half of the equation with good quality training and progressive overload, as well as focusing on the fat decrease, specifically with nutrition.
There we go.
Now we have the best of both worlds, and we can really balance that and get you the aesthetic that most women are wanting.
Yeah, that's it. And you hit the nail on the head around really focusing on the body composition that women are wanting. And oftentimes it's shifting their belief system around what it is that it takes to totally. Get that body composition. Because I think the conventional wisdom is like, yeah, I need to burn more calories yep. all of the time and I need to eat less
yep.
all of the time. And you and I both know that's certainly not the case and what I certainly preach on this show. So let's now shift into kind of your focus into macros. What was it specifically about macros that clicked so much for you, and how do you guys leverage that in your business with your clients?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I started learning about macro counting, again, bringing this like scientific background that I had as a nurse and my understanding of health and nutrition, we all know, or most people know at this point, I feel like, that we have to create a caloric deficit in order to create fat loss. So that's just science, right? That's, yep. you know, you got to create a caloric deficit. How you create it, there's a bajillion and one ways. But the reason that I was so attracted to macro counting, it was because that it was about, yes, creating a caloric deficit while still fueling our body to the best way possible. And that was what it was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. It's like, yes, we got to create a caloric deficit, but we don't want to do it to the detriment of our overall health or our overall well-being or overall ability to function and you know, be optimal in our daily exercise, daily activities of life and things like that. And so I think that was what I really drew me to it, this understanding that there are three different main macros that our body needs, and that they need each of them individually for different functions. I always like to use the analogy of, a car, where we look at a car and we say, there's, a lot of different fluids that our car needs. Our car needs, radiator fluid, it needs gas, and it needs, windshield wiper fluid.
Right.
So we can't just have windshield wiper fluid and be like, oh, our car's great, it's going to run perfectly. You have to have all three of these because they do a different thing in your car. And the same thing with the macronutrients is, if we're cutting carbs super, super low, you're going to be really depleted. You're not going to be able to have the energy you need. You're not going to be able to even build the muscle you want to be able to build, because carbs fuel our body for energy and for performance. Same thing with a lack of protein. We're not going to be able to regenerate the tissues that we need to do. We're not going to be able to build the muscle that we need to build. And then fat has a huge play on our hormones. And so when we can make sure we're getting enough of each of the macronutrients while maintaining a caloric deficit, we find this sweet spot. And that's what I love to help my clients find, is this individual sweet spot for their body, where we are in that caloric deficit to promote fat loss, but we're maximizing the amount of calories that we are eating and putting them in the right places so that we can maximize muscle growth, feel good, and feel like we have energy throughout our day, and then maximize our hormone production as well.
100%. You obviously come from a scientific background like I do, which I think is also the reason why calorie tracking and macronutrients resonates with me is because it's ultimately a really objective way. Yeah, it's data. So we can make informed decisions.
Yep.
It's just like, right? It's a very logical approach to this. Whereas when we look at diet culture, oftentimes we're relegated to these overly restrictive dieting plans, around cut out all these foods and cut out complete macronutrients. And for most people, especially for busy parents like us, I mean, before the show, we were just talking about how both of us literally kind of ran into our appointment from all our various appointments with the kids and dogs and what have you. But that's the nature of the beast. And so when it comes to diet culture, when it comes to restrictive dieting mentality, it's like that stuff just, while it might work in the very short term, it's just not realistic. So what I've observed, and clearly what you implement as well, is sort of this methodology to help our clients really take ownership over their calorie intake, to understand if and when they need a calorie deficit and how to infuse that calorie deficit by virtue of truly being able to understand their protein, their carb, their fat intake. I mean, they're empowered to know, kind of what works for them and how to strategically implement it with, life.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said something so important too, is it's like a logical approach. And what I see with a lot of the women who come to me is they have a very emotional approach when it comes to their body, when it comes to food. It's there's a lot of emotion surrounding it, for good reason, right? I think that there's a lot of pressure placed on women. There's a lot of narratives in the culture around women. But I have a lot of clients who come to me who they step on the scale and it makes them feel a certain way, and it dictates how their whole entire day goes, right? It's all emotion driven. And what I really like my clients to be able to, and we all know that emotion doesn't usually help us make the best decisions. are highly emotional, we are not making the best logical decision forward. And so it's about helping clients to be able to take a step back and remove some of that emotion from food, remove some of that moral dilemma when it comes to, am I going to eat the cookie, right? It's like, can we strip that away? Can we move that away from an emotional decision and move it into a more logical decision where, again, you feel more in control, you feel like you have more power, you feel like you can make a rational decision. Now, that doesn't mean you always don't eat the cookie, right? This is a big deal that I make with my clients. It's like, whether or not you eat the cookie matters way less to me than how you are making that decision. Right. And if you're making that decision from an ownership place, I'm making this choice, this is what I am deciding to do and I'm owning that, I'm good with whatever choice you make. But for a lot of women, that is a very difficult struggle because so much of their life has been around, this food is bad, I can't eat this, if I eat this, I'll get fat. And we really got to rewire that to help them step back and move from this place of power to make those decisions.
Hey guys, I want to interrupt this conversation briefly with an exciting announcement. If you're a father and struggling to lose the pounds that have crept on over the years, I understand your challenge. You're juggling a successful career, a loving family, and now you're looking to regain that energy and physique that seems to have slipped away. And that's exactly why I created Prime Fit Operating System. PrimeFit OS is a unique hybrid coaching program designed specifically for men like you. Now, you guys know me. We're not about quick fixes or impossible routines. Instead, we focus on real sustainable change through personalized nutrition and science-driven strength training, all wrapped up in a supportive community with expert guidance directly from me and my 20 years of experience working with men just like you. Imagine mastering your nutrition without restrictive dieting, getting stronger and leaner, and boosting your overall energy, all without overwhelming your already busy schedule. With PrimeFit OS, you're getting more than just a cookie-cutter nutrition and fitness plan. You're embarking on a transformative journey that fits into your life, not the other way around. So, if you're ready to take the first step towards a healthier, leaner, stronger, more energetic, confident, ass-kicking you, join us over at PrimeFit Operating System. Trust me, guys, your family, your career, and most importantly, you will thank you for it. So if you guys are interested in getting started and want to find out more about the program, let's chat. Just head over to primefitos.com/call and grab a time on my calendar. Remember, it's your time to be at your prime. Yeah, most definitely. And I think underlying all of that really is sort of this, the mindset, if you will, around this whole process, because I think you and I can both agree. I mean, you have a program called Macros One-on-One where you teach, you know, I'm assuming you teach your clients how to learn, you know, how to learn how to track macros and take responsibility for those objective metrics, how to insert logic and reason into these situations. But at the end of the day, so much of it really does come down to our past experiences, our emotions, kind of our beliefs around things. And so I guess throughout your years of implementing this with clients, what are some of the biggest obstacles that you encounter with your clients? Because while I know superficially it is perhaps consistency of hitting their, you know, their numbers, what's typically underlying that you see?
Yeah. When I was a baby coach and I first was starting out and I first was taking clients and I had this understanding of macros, I was like, dude, this is so amazing. I can just like teach these people about macros. I can like set their macros for them. They're going to hit them. They're going to go forward and hit their goals. And it's like amazing.
Like I have the formula. Just follow the formula,
right? Just follow the path. Just follow the steps. Right. And so, you know, a baby coach Amber here is all excited. And I start taking some of my clients and I'm like, watching them go through this experience and they're still struggling and they're struggling to hit their macros and they're struggling to be consistent and they're struggling when they go out to eat and they're struggling with all these things. And I'm in my head, I'm like, it's not that hard. You just follow the plan.
Right.
And that's, again, I think that's a very, like a very immature coach. I think a lot of us come into the coaching sphere thinking we have all of the answers and that we just give them to our clients and then they're going to be successful. And I very quickly realized that that was not the case. And so I had to take a step back as a coach and say, what do my clients need? Rather than what do I want to give them? What do I want to teach them? The question became like, what do my clients actually need? And I really realized that for 99% of people, it is not a lack of knowledge that is keeping them from getting the results that they want. It's not that they need to learn one more thing or they need to understand, you know, one more concept. It's the implementation of those concepts that is the challenge. And I like to use a model of a tree because I think it helps people to understand why they make the decisions that they make. And if we think about the three parts of the tree, we think about the leaves of the tree, we think about the branches of the tree, and we think about the roots of the tree. What we see are the leaves. That's what you see when you see a tree is like the leaves and the fruit. And those are, you know, the results that we get in our body, the things that we can see. But they don't come out of thin air, right? They come from the branches, right? So we have to have the branches that then produce those leaves and fruit. And the branches are like the actions that we take. Again, something we can see. It's like you going to the gym. It's you tracking your macros. It's all of those actions that you're taking produce those results that you want to get. And again, we can see those actions. And that is where I spent as a baby coach, I spent a lot of my time is like, how can I get clients to take new actions? How can I get them to have consistency at the gym? How can I get them to have consistency with their nutrition? And that is where I spent a lot of my time until I realized that those actions were coming from somewhere. And that was something hidden under the ground, right? That you can't see the roots, but the roots produce the branches, which produce the fruit. And those roots are like the beliefs and identity that we hold as individuals that influence the actions we take that then influence the results that we get. And so I realized as a coach that I was spending way too much time just trying to muscle my clients into taking new action without taking a step back and saying, where are those actions coming from and how can I address the root cause? And so that's what has kind of over the years I've developed and figured out is how, because you can't see it. That's harder. As a coach, that's way harder to see.
And way more uncomfortable to address. Yeah.
For everybody, right?
For everybody.
Like, for everybody involved. But that's what I've gotten really good at over the years is how do I have a methodology? And this is what I teach my coaches is how do I have a methodology to get down deeper, to see the struggle that someone's having and to not just say, well, just try harder or just do it or just, I don't know, like make it happen,
right.
Suck it up, but actually get down to the root of why are you actually struggling? How can we solve that problem? How can we shift the beliefs? How can we shift the identity? Which then the actions become a natural byproduct of our beliefs and our identity, and the results follow thereafter.
So just to clarify, I mean, is it that you feel like people invariably just aren't ready to make change? They're kind of stuck in their old behaviors and belief systems of this is who I am and just don't necessarily know how to step outside of that?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest thing that I feel like that holds people back is fear and figuring out exactly what that fear is. Fear of what? Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of what it will mean about me, fear of what my family will think, fear of like, but it's that fear for most people that keeps them from stepping outside of their current belief structure or their current identity structure. And so if we can help to isolate, what is the fear? What are you really afraid of? Then we can help to overcome that fear. And that allows people to expand their belief system. It allows them to up-level their identity. And then again, those actions and results become the natural byproduct of that inner work.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so easy for us to superficially like say, well, I can do this. I can take actions. I can drink more water. I can move my body more consistently, especially, you know, in your situation, you've got all these women that are hard charging it in the gym, but they're not making changes. And when it comes down to things, like you said, it's sort of like the fear of, well, what happens when I truly do make this change? What happens when I truly do become a different person? How is that going to impact my existing lifestyle, my spouse, my family, my community, right? The stories that I tell myself in my head. And I think that that can be really, really scary. And as challenging as everything else is on paper, it's actually digging down into, okay, that's perhaps the scariest component of them all.
Well, and I think a lot of times people will be like, yep, I don't like where I'm at right now. Like I want to change. I want to whatever result that you're wanting to get out. But the important, so why would I let a fear of failure or success or whatever keep me from doing that? And it's important to understand that, yes, even if you're uncomfortable in the current situation you are, it is a known discomfort.
Right.
And our brain prefers a known discomfort to an unknown discomfort. Yeah. And so a lot of people will stay uncomfortable, unhappy in quote unquote pain where they are because it's familiar and they know it. And making change requires you to step out into the unknown discomfort. And your willingness and ability to tolerate unknown discomfort is going to be equivalent to your ability to be able to be successful.
Yeah, it's like what's the quote? Change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change.
That's right. Yeah, like exactly.
It sucks either way, but we're comfortably uncomfortable in our misery. Yep. And yeah, the brain wants us to be comfortable. So even if it's failure, we still know the outcome of that.
Right.
And that's so we're just going to stay rooted in that as opposed to like stepping out into the unknown of like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen, but we need to be okay believing in ourselves enough to know that it's going to be okay. And that's the only way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a little tricky too, because I do believe that we can act our way into a new way of being. I think that, you know, you said when people are making changes, I think there are kind of two ways that can go. It's like for some people, I see them making changes and starting to go to the gym and tracking their food. And it's a white knuckling of that experience. Totally. It's a holding on. It's a like, I don't know how long I can do this. And if that's the way that it's going, it's not going to work long-term. That's why we see a lot of quick fad diets where people are quote unquote successful for a month and then they fall off. But if we can act our way into a new way of being, and that means we are actually allowing that those actions to change us from the inside, we're actually practicing stepping out of our comfort zone and dealing with the discomfort of, you know, going to the gym for the first time, or you know, tracking our food, or going out to eat, or saying no to someone who offers us food. If we are dealing with that discomfort and learning to sit in it, what happens is our comfort zone expands. And now we're able to be less uncomfortable in the discomfort.
Yeah.
And we can take another step forward again into that discomfort. So that's why I'm saying your ability to be able to tolerate the discomfort of not knowing, or tolerate the discomfort of something new, is going to be equivalent to your ability to be able to be successful. People who are successful can tolerate that discomfort.
Yeah. And that's these are all learned behaviors. And so yes. I'm curious what you guys do, because in my experience, you know, the calorie tracking process, the macro tracking process, these are tools that really help us kind of root down into identifying the behaviors that are holding us back. It's like, Listen, at the end of the day, yes, it's about calories, but it's more about the behaviors that are contributing to the calories, The belief systems that are contributing to the calories. So how do you set your clients up for success in a way where you're giving them enough runway to truly make those changes? Because I'm pretty confident that Sally, mom of three, you know, who's 50 pounds overweight, who's never tracked a calorie before, doesn't step into your program day one and you're here, like, here's your macro split and calorie goal and your strength training program, like, go.
Yeah, exactly. So we walk clients through like a 5-phase process where we're like, step number one, step number two, and allow them to progress to the next level so that it is a progression. And some people come to our program and they're already at level 3.
Totally.
And great, we're going to progress them to a level 4. So there is a progression that happens with clients. But yeah, many of our clients started at a level 1 where we're not having you track and hit every single macro every single day and work out every, right? We got to start you somewhere. But that key is that progression and being able to move up over time through that and see the growth that you're experiencing. I also think one thing that this is just human phenomena, that we are really, really terrible at seeing our own progress. And so being able to help clients identify the progress that they're making, which is what I find with when we have phases, it helps clients to see, oh, I've gone from a phase 1 to a phase 2. I'm making progress. It's helpful to be able to continue that progress forward to know, hey, I have grown, and that means I can grow again. And that means I can take the next step. And we can slowly, you know, baby step our way to the results that we're wanting to have.
I really like that idea of kind of commending them on the progress and having some kind of actionable, you know, or delineations around phase 1 to phase 2 of being able to acknowledge progress therein. I think that's a really good idea, and giving clients the opportunity to say, okay, and over this past phase, I've lost this amount of pounds, lost this amount of inches, right? But also, is look how much more competent and confident I am. I've obviously have a whole new skill set that leads me into the next phase.
Yeah, right? It's easy to see progress with the metrics. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have progress with the metrics for whatever reason, people tend to say, oh, I'm not progressing, I'm not making change. And we can kind of, you know, can take the non-metric progress that they're making and put it into a phase approach. It allows people to see that transition and that progress.
What role do you find social support, accountability, community play in your clients' success? And I think just across the board, not just for your clients, but I think people looking to make, you know, lifelong change plays in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits, talks about the importance of community. And he talks about how if you want to make a change, surrounding yourself with people where that is normal, where that the change you're wanting to make is the normal in that community, is makes it so much easier to make that change. So it's like if you're a smoker and you're wanting to not smoke, hanging out with people who don't smoke and that's the normal behavior is going to make it much easier for you to make that change. And so community, I feel like, and finding people who, again, don't think it's weird that you're tracking macros, but like that's the normalized behavior, can be very helpful in making that change for you. So I think community is a huge piece. The accountability piece is interesting because there are a lot of people who find that accountability to an external source is really valuable. And I think at the end of the day, if we want this to be sustainable and long lasting, we have to also add in that internal accountability. And so teaching people how to be accountable to themselves is going to produce a longer term result for them, because external accountability is not always going to be there. You're not always going to have a coach to check in with. You're not always going to have a friend who goes to the gym with you.
Right.
So while those are not bad things to have, and I think external accountability can be really a powerful intermediary, if we're not working to develop your internal accountability to yourself, it's kind of just a band-aid that we're slapping on. And so I really like to help clients to develop that internal accountability so that they can be successful well beyond the program, well beyond coaching.
How do you guys structure your program in terms of, is it all group-based, and how do you help them develop that internal accountability along the way? I guess, like, what's the average timeline that a client would stay with you? And I guess, what are your observations around, you know, usually they need the group and rely on the group, and it's fundamental towards the change over the first 6 months or a year, and beyond that, usually they have a lot more autonomy.
Yeah. So, I mean, my whole goal, I always say this, my mom always used to say this growing up. I'm one of seven kids. I'm the oldest of seven kids. She used to always say, my job as a mother is to work myself out of a job.
Right.
Like, that was her whole thing, is like, I'm to raise you to be autonomous adults. And I always tell my clients that it's like, my goal is for you to not need me anymore. That's my goal. I want you to fly the coop. I want you to go leave and be able to do this all on your own and be able to coach yourself and be accountable to yourself and do that on your own. Now, of course, that process to get to that point takes a different amount of time for different people. You know, some people who are coming to me in a phase one, it may take them a little bit longer to get to that phase time, that phase five, where they're able to really be accountable to themselves and understand the process and understand their bodies well enough. So, you know, the way that we structure our program is Macros 101 is an 8-week group program. It has lifetime access to content. So you get the content forever, but you have 8 weeks of coaching. And that is enough to get people started and into the groove. And for my super like self-motivated people, that's plenty for them. They're like, I got this. I got the content. I got the coaching. I understand the process. I'm good. I can go and do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And for them, I say, that's amazing. Love that. Go girl. For some people, they need a little bit longer of that coaching. They have a little bit deeper roots of things that we need to uncover. We need to work through. And you know, they can stay with us for a month-to-month basis for as little as or as long as they would like. We've had clients in the program for, you know, 3 years who just don't want to leave. And they just love the community and they love to stay. And we have plenty of people who stay for a couple extra months, or they go through their reverse and they finish that and then they fly the coop. So, you know, my goal at the end of the day is for everybody to be able to do this without me and without, you know, the support that we provide. But that looks different for that process looks different for everybody.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's great. It sounds like such a good model. So you mentioned how your mother set such a great example of just being health and fitness minded for you growing up. You're obviously doing the same for your kiddos. What are you observing? Because I think your kids are between 10 and 17 now. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you have four kids. And so obviously, you know, you're fit, healthy, strong mom. You're running a business, leading by example. What are you observing in your kids around that example that you're setting?
Oh my gosh, it's been so fun and so heartwarming. So I have three boys and a girl, and my oldest is my one daughter, and she's almost 17. And it's been really fun, especially the last couple of years. I mean, we've taken the kids into the gym. We have a gym at home. We built a gym out in our shed, and so the kids have obviously seen us lifting in there 4 years. They come hang out with us. We got a little dumbbell for them when they were really little. So just kind of like being with us while we were lifting and just, again, normalizing that. I think one of the things that my mom did that benefited me the most was normalizing lifting weights as a female. I never saw that as weird or unusual, or that lifting weights was only for guys. She very much from a young age normalized that for me. And so we kind of took the same route of just like normalizing our kids just seeing us work out, normalizing hanging out with us in the gym, normalizing, you know, coming in rowing with us or lifting with us. And, you know, some of that is starting to pay off now as our kids are getting older. And my daughter is, she'll go to the weight room several times a week just on her own. She does her own workout program. She does gymnastics and cheerleading. And I see her out on the cheer floor and she is like the buffest cheerleader out there. And I'm like, that's my girl.
Love it.
That's my girl, the strong one over there. So that has been really gratifying. And again, that's not from us pushing or us forcing them into it. It was just us normalizing it as a normal behavior, as a normal thing that fit into our lives. And then the kids modeled that. And that has been really gratifying to see that just become a part of their lives as they get older as well.
There's so many parents that, you know, I have conversations with and they're like, how can I get my kid to XYZ? How can I get them to eat healthier? How can I get them to lose some weight? How can I get them, you know, involved in strength training? I think it would be so good for them. I'm like, take a look in the mirror, man. This is you leading by example. And so I love stories like that. You know, I have three kids, my two daughters, they're 14 and 12. They're both athletes, among many other things. My son's 8 and my wife and I, you know, we've been in the gym since they were little and never pushed it on them. The exact same, you know, observations. It's like, they want to come, they want to be involved. I mean, listen, there's certain times I'll invite them in. They're like, no, I'm going to watch my show. That's fine. But it really does help them develop this autonomy, this level of competence, this level of confidence. And then the language that we use around it, around like, you look so strong and, you know, it's so muscular and it's not about weight. It's not about being quote unquote skinny. It truly is about being a strong, confident woman, strong, confident man. And I think as parents, it's the responsibility that we have to set the precedent for them. And so I'm just, you know, love the fact that we were able to have this conversation. Love the fact that, you know, we have an amazing audience that's also doing their diligence and trying to learn and trying to grow and trying to learn how to set the precedent for themselves and model for their family. And so, Amber, thank you so much for your time. Tell us where people can find out more about you.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast, I assume you listen to podcasts. So my podcast is Biceps After Babies Radio. That's where, we have, you know, 300 plus episodes to kind of dive into and binge. And then I'm most active on Instagram. The handle's just Biceps After Babies.
Beautiful. So fun catching up. Obviously we're on the same wavelength here. So I'll look forward to having another conversation with you. Maybe I'll run into you at a conference here. At some point, and keep up the great work. I love what you're doing and I'm so impressed.
Thanks so much.
Have a good one.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you found this content valuable, here are four ways I can help you in your nutrition journey for free. One, grab a free copy of my Fat Loss Fix Guide at fatlossfixguide.com. Two, join my free group at smartnutritionmadesimple.com. Three, subscribe to my YouTube channel at smartnutritionmadesimpletv.com. Four, leave a 5-star rating and positive review so that we can gain access to more nutrition experts ready to share their knowledge with you and ultimately help more people make smart nutrition simple.